This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to hour two. John and I were hard at work during the break trying to figure out who's an actual real Knicks celebrity fan who is just someone riding the wave right now. Like, is Larry David, Knicks fan. John McEnroe, Knicks fan. Russell Wilson, not a Knicks fan. He will adopt the city that he's in now that he's a Giants quarterback, and he'll root for the Knicks. But he's not a Knicks fan. He's hey, look at me. I'm Russell Wilson. Now, ain't I a good guy? I'm rooting for the local team. He's one of those guys. And, you know, if you're not a fan of a basketball team, it's not a bad way to go about life.
Yeah.
The Knicks
CJ
are good.
CJ Stroud could take notes.
Oh.
Not mouth-kissing to Steph Curry after game one.
It's aggressive on your part. You wouldn't be saying that about him if he was coming off a great second season.
I definitely wouldn't.
It's easy to say it now.
I probably wouldn't be thinking about Russell Wilson either.
If he was a great player. It's easy to say that now because CJ struggled, relatively speaking, in year two. But let's go. Sean, you've seen the list, and we've discerned who's a real fan and who isn't.
Yeah.
Do you think you would... Okay, go ahead. What were you
going to say? Spike Lee's always... like,
real fan.
That's just funny. Spike Lee, my entire life, he's been a sad Knicks fan. He hasn't been a happy Knicks fan, except for a week and a half ago when they beat the Celtics. Uh-huh. It's the only time I've ever seen him a happy Knicks fan. But I have to go with someone else. And this is conditional, that his sadness maybe his sadness would take him farther than I think anyone else's sadness would take them. I need Tracy Morgan to throw up on the court.
Wow.
Again.
Tracy Morgan is your choice?
I need him to be so sad that he vomits on MSG again for the second time this
season.
I need him to be sickened by what he sees on the floor tonight, and then everyone else is sickened by what they then see
so
on
you
the floor.
You want something out of a comedy movie or a cartoon, like
I mean,
Family Guy.
Vomited.
Where you have Tracy Morgan vomiting and it and elicits projectile vomit from everyone around him. That's what you're looking for. Okay.
Yeah. If it upsets everybody so much that they all vomit.
I wasn't gonna put Tracy Morgan on the list. I mean
you saw how much he vomited.
Yes. He was ill and maybe some alcohol was involved as well, and that led to that. There's another celebrity Knicks fan
Justin Long.
Sure.
He was second on my
list.
He
could be miserable, I think I'm good with that. I don't have any problem with that. There are a couple guys, particularly one, good old Marty McFly, that I would have been upset with you if he'd mentioned for several reasons. I wish nothing but good things for Michael J. Fox, so he doesn't go on my oh, you're not so sure, huh? Back to the Future 3, not so great.
Actually, I like
he goes Spin City. Could have done without it.
Three hit wonder.
Yeah, put out three really good Back to the Future movies.
What
else? Michael P. Keaton, whatever, or Alex P. Keaton. Excuse me. I'm trying to think. Mine. I was thinking Larry David, but nah.
Joe Budden's also funny.
Joe Budden was miserable after all that
in the fourth row.
That big talk about his Knicks beating the Celtics, and he thought they're taking out the Pacers in five. That'd be funny too, sitting in the third row, two rows behind Fat Joe. But I think I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go with John McEnroe. I think that's Nah, it's Ben Stiller. Forget it. Ben Stiller tweets. I remember why I took issue with him before. Yeah. Ben Stiller tweets about his Knicks.
That's a good point. Because, like, some of these people you just get will get, like, one sad.
Yeah, I don't have to deal with McEnroe outside of maybe he makes an appearance because someone puts a camera in his face at the game.
Wimbledon. He's going to be.
I don't watch Wimbledon. Don't got to worry about that. But his Knicks fandom, I don't have to deal with unless someone puts a camera in his face. Ben Stiller's one of the more vocal Knicks fans. He'll tweet about the Knicks. He will quote tweet someone who insults him or the Knicks.
Yeah, he'll get in the comments.
Now he's in a war of words with Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Which is more about McAfee's than it is about Stiller, but still, he's involved now.
Yeah, he'll throw stuff at Brian Windhorst.
Oh, Brian Windhorst, by the way, said it was much worse than what we saw on video. I think he went on his podcast or someone's podcast and explained. If you missed it, after the Knicks, I think, eliminated the Celtics. I think that was game six, right? Game six, they eliminated the Celtics.
Yes.
Windhorst had trash thrown at him. And also someone said, hey, Windhorst, what do you think about this? And he goes, I don't give what you think about it. But he said it was worse than what we even saw. So Windhorst, from what I can tell, at least his colleagues say, one of the more likable people around, seemed very unnecessary from a guy just giving his opinion about the game. When all you should be doing is really celebrating the win. That's why I was rooting against the Knicks in this series because of their fans and how insufferable they are. But I don't know if any celebrity fan threw anything at Brian Windhorst. But who's most likely to have done that from a celebrity point of view? Joe Budden, probably.
I was going to say Chalamet.
Nah, I don't think Chalamet got that in him. And it's funny that Chalamet doesn't make our list. You would think the young Hollywood star bringing a Jenner Kardashian to the game, and he doesn't make the list. It's Ben Stiller.
Yeah, because I think just because I saw the picture of him wanting an autograph from, like, Landry Fields 14 years ago,
yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Yeah, he's a real one.
This.
Yeah, he's a real one. He was hoping Landry
you're
Fields.
You're not a celebrity who goes to Knicks games.
You're
a Knicks fan who became
a
celebrity.
You're a New Yorker who's a Knicks fan who became a celebrity, yes. And I think maybe Ben Stiller fits the pro. Is he a New Yorker,
yeah,
too?
But also he rage tweets.
Yeah, I wasn't excusing him. I'm just saying I think he fits the profile.
Yeah, no, he also fits the profile, but he also will rage tweet, so you're on the list, buddy.
My list, certainly. Eric, you want to talk about Jalen Green? Who doesn't want to talk about Jalen Green? We'll get to you now because we got Raheel Ramzanali coming up. So you have one. Who do you have again as your
Well, Tracy Morgan, asterisk, if he vomits.
If he vomits. But if he doesn't vomit, do you have someone?
Probably Stiller.
Yeah.
Just for the, because you'll see it, you know?
Yeah.
You'll see the sadness. Joe Budden, number two.
if we can see him, considering how far back he'll be at the game. All right. Eric, you want to talk about Jalen Green and the Rockets? What's up, Eric?
Hey, Noah. When you trade Randall for Jalen Green, and the Knicks fan I would choose would be your mentor, Stephen A. Smith.
It's not my mentor.
He's really annoying.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, what did you, baby?
That's Willie P. You're mocking there, I guess.
Oh, Willie Ryder.
Yeah.
Another Willie Ryder.
Oh, Willie, if you heard that, if you don't hear it live, you heard it on the podcast, we got another Willie Ryder that you can comment on. Stephen A. Smith's not my mentor. I don't even really consider him a Knicks fan because Knicks fans don't. So if he's sad, it's just going to be performative. Like, what he does tells you he's not that big of a fan, because if you can turn it into a bit and you're willing to be filmed doing it, that's not what a real fan wants to deal with. So, nah, he doesn't count. As far as Jalen Green, no, I would not trade him for Julius Randle. I wasn't in favor of trading Jalen Green for Julius Randle when Julius Randle was going good, because you still are devoid of backcourt options once you trade him. Julius Randle isn't a like-for-like replacement, and he's not a good enough player where I would say, hey, let's trade our best, at least our most explosive perimeter player currently for Julius Randle. No. If you're trading Jalen Green, I would hope it's in a bigger deal than Julius Randle, because he is maybe not a centerpiece. Maybe the picks are considered the centerpiece, but part of a deal that gets you a superstar, or at least someone who can rise to that level. Julius Randle was a thought experiment I was having that I'm being held to account for.
Thought experiment gone wrong.
Yeah, that I've been being held to account for over the last couple of days. And I admit it, Julius Randle has not made that take, thought, whatever you want to call it, look good. But that's what's to be expected. If you have expectations for Julius Randle, he's going to make you look bad. Hey, I got caught up. It was like the ninth hour of this show I was doing that week. And you think about the 3 hours I do with John Lance. Hey, I run out of things to say. Sorry. And Julius Randle popped into my head. I'll take that L. It happens. All right. We'll hear from Raheel when we come back. Raheel Ramzanali, host CityCast, will join us to give you what's up and important about the city of Houston. We'll do that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
While we wait for Raheel to join us, we didn't get to this. College football news. The SEC coaches would like a 5+11 model. What that means is, for the proposed 16-team playoff, which has a lot of different iterations that people are thinking about, the coaches themselves would like the 5 automatic qualifiers. While they wouldn't get byes, at least 4 of them would get byes, they'd be the qualifiers, and then you'd have 11 at-larges. The belief in the SEC, at least from the coaches, is they would take up quite a few of those. Now, last year, we know the argument about South Carolina and Alabama and Ole Miss. They believe in that setup, those guys would make it because of the SEC dominance. I would say, sure, don't lose to Kentucky, though, if you're Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin. Don't lose to Oklahoma if you're Alabama. And South Carolina, I mean, you were pretty good in the SEC. Your losses came out of it. And you also have a win over a playoff team in Clemson. Problem for them is they did lose to Ole Miss in Alabama, so that's why it was going to be hard for them to get in. So we'll continue to hear about this stuff, and people are clearly looking for the most advantageous setup for them. But that's what the SEC coaches want. 11 at largest, which actually differs from what the administrators want. I believe they wanted the 4+4 Big Ten in the SEC, and then they at largest up for grabs. Part of a scenario also would be the top two teams in the SEC would get their bids in that we get 4 teams in. And then, because we're not giving up championship Saturday money, we'd have a doubleheader. Or at least we hit maybe a game Friday and Saturday where 3 versus 6 would play each other and 4 versus 5 would play each other in some type of a play-in tournament, although it wouldn't be a tournament because they wouldn't have to face each other, the winners. And if the winners of those 2 games make it into the playoff. And then you know what, Sean? The 2 losers are still eligible to make the playoff as at large.
I was going to say, if you're getting 4, then I guess it's the winner and the loser of the championship game. Or are we not doing a championship
game? They're not doing a championship game. They're doing...
So instead of having the best and second best team of the SEC play, they want a game between the 3rd and 6th best team and the 4th and 5th best team.
Yes.
2 games.
Because, hey, what's an SEC title game really mean if your top 2 teams are making it anyway, guaranteed, okay. Although that would
this
be the case of the 12th
very
team.
Well thought through, because it's like, what about instead of Alabama versus Georgia, we then get, like, Ole Miss versus South Carolina instead. Wouldn't that be better TV? It's like, no, that actually wouldn't be better TV.
I do. They believe the interest in their league is so big that the very fact that these 4 teams will be playing for the right to make the playoff would be enough of a draw as opposed to the top 2 teams playing for an SEC title.
I feel like we've gone too far. I feel like we've just... I think we're drowning in proposals. This is something that's happening in all sports, I feel like. We're trying to fix every postseason and every problem that isn't really a huge problem. Like, do you realize that we're going to have 4 years of 4 different college football playoff scenarios or 4 different playoff setups? We're just changing this thing every single year. And, like, I 4+4+3+3+2+whatever. Like, guys, just it's a 16-seed tournament. This were, like, 5+11. Like, sure. Just because it's easier. Like, that's why. That's why I'm pro 5+11. It's just that way I just know who's in, and then we can argue about the bubble. We don't have to do, because now we're going to have, what, instead of 4 Power 4 title games, we're going to have at least six of them aren't title games.
Well,
by the way, I
am a victim of all the proposals. So the championship game would still exist.
Now we just have three SEC games?
Pretty much.
Guys.
And three automatic. So how it's set up.
Guys.
How it's set up currently. So stupid, not currently, but how it would be set up in this scenario. The winner of the title game gets in. The winners of those playing games gets in. And, of course, the team who lost the title game would be expected to get in. And then you'd have the two losers of the play-in game still be eligible because of the at-large scenario. That is what the...
Let's just do five plus
that's
one.
That's one proposal.
Let's just do five.
That is one of several proposals as we go forward.
Just five plus one. Or five plus
five 11. Plus 11. We will see.
Five plus one was the old school, this would fix the four-team playoff of, hey, what if just every conference title... or every conference winner got
and then
won at large.
Yeah.
Like, that's how simple this used to be to now. Like, again, so in 2023, we had the four-team playoff. 2024, we had the 12-team with the conference winners getting automatic buys.
Top four conference winners, yes.
Get Boise State and Arizona State. All right. Now we're going away with that for this year. So now it's 12 teams seeded normally. Sweet. Awesome. You could kind of stop here, whatever. But we're not going to stop here. 16 in 2026, but it might be 4 plus 4 plus 3 plus 3 plus 2 plus whatever.
That's right.
Or what if just the conference winners get in and then we figure out the at-larges?
Nah, let's go with the more complicated
like,
measures.
Come on, guys.
Nah.
We had a pretty simple process with the 14 playoff.
No, but which of these things benefits my conference and myself more than it benefits the other conferences? That's part of the equation, too.
I could make the argument 5 plus 11 would help the SEC more. They're going to get 5 in every time.
You would say that, but we need more interest in our conference that has the most interest as it already – more than anyone else.
And you know what
we value more than interest? Money. So you know how valuable it would be to have a championship game and then two play-in games as well? The interest in our conference and the money we could earn from that?
I guess what I'm thinking is also like, well, the Big Ten would just do this too because they're getting the same amount of teams in. And then what?
Oh, you're talking about unintended consequences where those two teams, where those two conferences could have games battling each other for attention?
Yeah. Now all of the conference championship Saturday is like just going to be a normal week of college football.
Yeah.
Because all the teams are playing each other.
Like, how many teams are going to play on championship Saturday?
75 teams
and Friday.
I think they can make the title.
Yeah.
Guy, like, again, this is like the football changing, the NFL changing their postseason where it's like, I think it worked fine. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
this
six
for.
Playoff teams were just fine.
People wanting the no more East West, just 1 through 16 seated straight in the NBA. Like, guys, the schedules would be unequal.
Can I ask you something, Sean? You seem to be very against change. What would we have done without the Denver Broncos making the playoffs last year? What would we have done without that?
I don't know. I would have had an extra like 3 hours on my. Whatever day that was.
Well, and did
Saturday
you,
or Sunday.
Did you really need that, or could you have been, could that have been better served watching more football, even if it was bad football?
I mean, the thing is, the Super Wild Card weekend, isn't that the same weekend as the college football playoff?
I believe.
Was there an overlap on
yes, and
of them?
And, you know, the attention that lost because there are so many games
on. There's a Texans regular season game the same week as the first playoff week. It was like it was on at the same time as either Penn State SMU or Texas Clemson, and like there's just a Kansas City game where everyone's legs were being exploded. Just Tank Dell's actually, and the season was going terribly for the Texans.
Yeah. It all is a blur because at some point there may be just too much football for me to remember.
That's where I'm starting to get a little bit worried for the NFL and to a lesser degree college football, where it's just like, you know, there's going to be like we're a show that talks about pop culture, that talks about Marvel movies. There's a time where Marvel could just shovel out whatever and people would go in droves to go see it and they would have an awesome time, and they're bought in on the, like, giant decade-long storytelling that they're doing. Now they're not. Now that they can even make a good movie in the Thunderbolts, and it makes way less money than all the other MCU movies. I think people just get tired of things. And I think the more and more that the NFL and college football and the SEC and Big Ten are like pushing this, like, well, we just got to give them more. It's like, well, people are eventually going to get sick of this. Like, you're going to reach a breaking point with the casual audience that you're chasing that, like, oh, wait, I need to watch the fourth place SEC game because one of these teams might lose in the first round of the playoff. Cool. Oh, wait, it's LSU and Ole Miss, a game I've already seen. Oh, okay, sweet.
There is a level of, you guys are always going to want to watch us do this. And the SEC, maybe within its rights to believe that, but I don't disagree. At some point, the second edition of the Ole Miss LSU game that wasn't that interesting the first time it happened.
Joe, just like any, like,
yeah, it doesn't matter the matchup. It's just,
but when you do go down from the top of the SEC to the middle of the SEC, which is what you're doing, it's not really the middle now because there's 16 teams, so it's slightly above the middle of the SEC. It's just like, really, do we need last year's LSU A&M game to be a rematch and one of these teams make the playoff? I think the playoff was good without either of those teams making the playoff. That's just me.
For a situation like that, I think a lot of people would be like, hey, just pick one. I mean,
who cares?
We don't care.
Who cares? Pick one of those.
Whether it be Marcel Reed or Nussmeier, pick one of them. Whatever offense you like better, pick one and let's go.
Think about this. We didn't even like have any conversations about the Tennessee Volunteers making the playoff because they were just like lock solid.
They're all in.
We didn't even talk about them. And they played one of the most least interesting games in the entire playoff.
Yes.
And then they're out night one.
The most interesting thing they did was run out there with their shirts off, trying to look tough, and then put their shirts back on because it was actually pretty cold.
3 hours of them getting their stuff
and
rocked.
Then after that, they just got killed by the eventual national champion.
But it's like, but what if we'd watched three extra Tennessee games to get to that point?
And we're focusing on them, but as you pointed out, do we think the Big Ten wouldn't try something too if the SEC got that off? So who knows? We will be joined by La Salsa when we come back, unless Raheel calls in before we go to break.
What if that's Raheel under an alias?
I don't believe he would have, although selling it by calling in on the regular line works, but I think he would have just called in on the hotline. But you never know. We'll see if La Salsa is Raheel or he's someone else. Considering the topic of conversation up there, I think that's actually La Salsa. We'll get to him and anyone else when we get back.
ESPN.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
It'd be your own people, Sean. Raheel stood us up. It'd be your own people.
Again, this is at least the second time.
Yeah, I'm sure he's working hard with CityCast. But we're talking less than an hour ago. He's like, here are the topics. And now look at us. Waiting. Your own people. All right, let's get to La Salsa.
Next best thing. Then Raheel.
I would agree. Is that a compliment to La Salsa or an insult to Raheel? You decide. He wants to talk about, I don't know why he wants to talk about this guy. But what's up, La Salsa?
Hey, what's going on, Deli Bear? Hey, Mapers. Hey, also shout out to Raheezy and City Cats. Do we know if Jake Asman is a Knicks fan? And if so, I would root for his sadness. Hey, as always, you stay classy, Scrooston.
So at least he tied it into the show. I appreciate that effort. Jake Asman, formerly a host with the, I forget the name of the show, with Cody and Kellner.
I know the name. I'm just going to...
I can't remember the name.
The Wheelhouse.
I can remember the host names, but not the name of the show. I think that's better that I remember the actual guy's name as opposed to the name of the show. The Wheelhouse. Thank you. R.I.P. The Wheelhouse.
R.I.P. The Wheelhouse.
But the guy's still alive.
I can confirm.
Is he a Knicks fan?
Jake Asman is a Knicks fan.
Oh, then there you go, La Salsa. Rooting against Jake. You may not be the only one. I don't know. But I won't be rooting against the Knicks specifically for Jake. I've got bigger concerns, mainly Ben Stiller.
I think he would agree that Ben Stiller is a bigger concern.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're, than himself. If you're choosing someone
to root against.
Maybe choose Ben Stiller. I mean,
so Ben Stiller's made Severance, right? He's
yes, I do give him credit for that. He is one of the creators of Severance.
But other than that,
I mean, what joy has he brought me?
The last years.
Like I said last week, since Meet the Fockers, what am I looking at?
Well,
you gonna look
Ben,
it up?
Sorry, Ben Stiller, I'm pulling up your IMDb,
and maybe it changes my mind. Has he? I'm talking about in the movie. I'm not looking for him as a producer or a director.
No.
Because I wouldn't have known he did it unless he did like a behind-the-scenes thing.
I want you on my screen making me laugh.
Yeah.
Make me laugh, clown.
You don't even have to make me laugh. Just do a good job on my screen. And maybe I'll recant me rooting against you in the strongest way possible.
All right.
What's on the IMDb for Ben Stiller that we could have enjoyed in the last 10 years?
Well, coming up, he'll be in Happy Gilmore 2, reprising his role as Hal.
That's an Adam Sandler joint. But yes, he was in the first one. Okay. But coming up, that hasn't happened yet.
A lot of stuff.
Where he's, I see a lot of executive producer stuff in the last decade.
I mean, he was in a movie. Oh no, uncredited. Never mind. Dear Santa. He was Lucifer. Uncredited.
Nah, didn't watch that.
Nutcrackers. He played Mike Maxwell. 5.5 on IMDb.
Nope.
Bleaker. He played Dr. Potts.
Nah.
In 2022. Yeah. I'm just gonna scroll until I see something I recognize. He was in a 2019 episode of Arrested Development as Tony Wonder.
If you say so.
It's a recurring rival magician.
It was a recurring role for him. So this is my point. Ben Stiller ain't doing a lot for us. On screen, at least.
Yeah, Zoolander 2 in 2016. His last, I don't know.
Barely movie
I remember him coming out with.
Barely within a decade, and I didn't watch it.
And it's a 4.7 on
not great. So there it is.
Gosh, anything? It might actually be Meet the Fockers.
Yeah, you keep thinking I'm joking when I mention that, but
Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted.
Once again, a cartoon that we didn't see his face, but yeah, at least his voice was there. Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. Did that strike you as something you care about?
No, I might have just scrolled past it, actually. I did scroll
2014. Past it. So yeah, Little Fockers in 2010? Nah. So there it is.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
I'm not saying he wasn't in things we've heard of, just anything we would have enjoyed. Raheel has texted me and said he went over taping. I knew it was CityCast related. He has some stuff to record. We'll see if he'll get in. Or maybe we miss Raheel for the week. We'll see if he's available here shortly. All right. So
wow, you had to go back.
See?
Far.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, if we're going since this movie, the top five, like, I might be throwing in things that, like Zoolander 2, where I'm just like, it's a legacy sequel to a movie I liked. I've never seen it. 2008's Tropic Thunder is like the last certified banger.
There it is. 4 years after Meet the Fockers. There it is. Tropic Thunder.
Because it's a lot of sequels and it's a lot of cartoons, like Megamind, even though he plays a guy whose name I don't recognize.
Look, Greenberg, if I remember correctly, is a pretty good movie, but not enough for me to stop hating on Ben Stiller as far as him being a Knick fan. So there it is. We'll see if he's happy or sad tonight as the Knicks and the Pacers play their game 5. We've talked a lot about hating on Knicks fans. Who do you think is winning tonight? Honestly, I think the Pacers close them out. I don't think it goes back to Indiana.
Yeah.
The Pacers aren't – well, I know the Thunder are known as the not effing around team. For the most part, the Pacers don't eff around either.
Well, the Pacers, every series has gone the same way.
Yeah, when they have a chance to take you out, they do it. They were down big against Cleveland in a game 5, right? And they came back and won that one.
Yeah. I mean, every series they've played, they've gone up 2-0, lost game 3, won the next two.
Yeah.
Just that's what they did against Milwaukee.
The Bucks.
And that's what they did against Cleveland last series. So I think there's a good chance. I mean, they're undefeated on the road in the playoffs. No, wait. They've lost one. They lost game 3 to the Bucks. But other than that, they've lost one game on the road.
And those game 5s have gone a certain way. They were down big to the Bucks.
Yeah, and they
came back and won. After Gary Trent Jr. went crazy in that game 5. It felt like the Bucks were going to win that game. They couldn't hold on. And then against Cleveland. As I said, Cleveland had a big lead. That felt like, okay, we're going back to game six. At least Cleveland showed some heart, and the Pacers were going to close them out in six. No, the Pacers came back and won that one. So if we're looking for a trend beyond the fact that they win game fives, expect the Knicks to get up early and the Pacers to hawk them down and go win that one. We'll see how it plays out. But I think they take out the Knicks tonight. So we'll have Thunder Pacers in the finals. I think it happens either way. I think the Pacers win the series either way.
And yeah.
It'd be a giant giant collapse. They don't. But I feel like we get a lot of sad Knicks fan reactions in their building tonight.
Yeah. This is just a will they play a game on Saturday question.
Pretty much.
Really.
Pretty much.
And like you said, it might be worth the extra day without NBA basketball because the finals don't start till the 5th, till June 5th. So it might be worth it, though, to have that extra helps it's a Saturday of no basketball on just to get the 25 sad Knicks fan shots that we'll get.
I would agree. And
including Ben Stiller.
I mean, I can always watch a movie on one of those non-NBA nights. I got options. I'll take sadness in their own building tonight, and I'll adapt if there's no basketball in a couple nights. Okay, we'll go to a break with that. We have one more segment to go. If you have a ex-radio host that you want to root against, you can call in about that or anything else. 713-780-3776 is the number. Me and Sean, till noon, one more segment. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Sean, your boy, Del Conte. He's like, you ain't going to bully me. If you guys missed it, Chris Del Conte, the AD at Texas, was asked by Ohio State to move their season opener, which is a Saturday game at noon, which is a point of contention for Ohio State people as well, but they wanted the game moved from noon to Sunday, and Chris Del Conte was like, "Nah, you're not gonna put us on a short week. We got San Jose State coming up. That's a respected West Coast program. Yeah. You're not gonna put us at a disadvantage. Hey, the game was scheduled at noon. That's what the contract said. We'll play it at noon. We're not gonna move it to another day.
Take it up with Fox.
Yeah, exactly. It's not as much as it's funny to hear.
Fox could put that game at night.
They could, but." They have decided they want the space of playing games at noon. They want it to be their thing. And Ohio State, there's some politician there trying to create legislation to stop that from happening. But this isn't a Chris Del Conte thing. So,
would the Sunday game be at night?
I don't know.
Like if it's not at night, then like what the hell are
because,
we talking about?
Because ABC or the ESPN family has a Sunday night game. It's Notre Dame Miami, which if we go by the way too early rankings, is supposed to be a top 10 matchup somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Both those schools. So you already have a big game that night. So then you're just competing against them. I guess the ultimate thing they wanted, Ohio State people wanted, was a Saturday night game, but with the schedules already made, they thought, hey, let's go with Sunday. And Conte was like, no, what are you talking about? I'm not doing that. And take it up with the networks, which is how TV and, well, how games are determined anyway. It's all about what the network wants, and the network wanted it at noon. You're in the Big Ten. Deal with it. DeConte's like, I'm in the SEC. They never do that in the SEC.
No.
It's either 2:30 or primetime.
Yeah. Or you're playing Kentucky.
Yeah, but they would never put a top five matchup on at noon or 11
Fox,
for us.
Scared to compete.
And even the SEC move a traditional 11 o'clock kickoff, at least for us, to the 2:30 slot.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, Texas, now 2:30 because the SEC is like, we're not putting one of our featured games on at noon Eastern time.
If there's a good game on at 11, it's because there's absolute, like, banger city from 2:30 to whatever, to the prime time. Like, that's the only time that there's going to be an awesome 11 o'clock game.
And sometimes, and that would have to be like two games in those time slots because there'll be times where the networks will compete against each other.
Yeah, they'll do a 6 o'clock and a 7 o'clock SEC game.
Yeah, I mean, like if CBS, which now has a Big Ten too, had Oregon and, let's say, Ohio State and prime time, you'd have an SEC game at prime time. So they will compete against each other. If they have to, but as opposed to putting a game at 11. But Big Noon Kickoff is their thing. It's their featured brand for Fox Sports when it comes to college football. So suffer the consequences, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Even if you are the national champion.
I mean, even like with that, like taking that part out, like the fact that like the idea that you'd be asking to push it back is because Ohio State thinks it would be advantageous to them to push it back.
Yeah.
Then are you obligated to be like, oh, by all means, please.
You think, you're saying a night game would
please make it harder.
Would be more hectic and maybe more consequential to the outcome of the game? Oh, sure. Let's do
right
that.
This way, sir.
Let's put Arch Manning in that situation at night. He's already got a place the defending national champion on their own in his first start as QB1. He started games before, but as QB1. Let's put it at 7:30 because that's what we want to do. No. The game is scheduled where it's scheduled. Get over it. So that's how that's going to play out.
Fox, just put it at night.
Nah, Fox is scared to compete. Can't do it. Although it's more. What are we going to do? What game? Hey, we're stuck with enough Ohio State, Ohio State, Illinois games at noon. Ohio State, Northwestern games at noon.
There was a big noon kickoff that was Ohio State, Marshall last year.
Yeah. They deal with that enough. So when they have a prime game, like, now it didn't turn
Fox
out.
Fox is like the most nakedly, like, it is going to be either a Penn State, Ohio State,
or Michigan game.
Michigan if they're good.
Yeah.
Like, those are the only three brands that can handle big noon kickoff.
It's the only three brands that we think people will care about to watch a game at that time of the day. So if they're available, we're going to show them because this is our featured product. And then they'll move on to Big 12 stuff later in the day, which is kind of just their formula. So
what is I'm looking at what the Saturday night game is.
I think I did it this morning. I know the Sunday night game.
Oh, they're all TBD.
Yeah, they don't know the times. Maybe that's why they were really insistent on trying to get it moved because the times weren't set. But not going to happen. The Sunday night game, as I mentioned, is Notre Dame Miami. So that
it's LSU Clemson.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah. So that's the game of the night. Two teams who at least at minimum are going to be top 15 going into the season. So they'll have that game for us.
Yeah, ABC basically already has their like big time matchups set for Saturday.
It makes sense.
It's going to be Syracuse, Tennessee at 11, Alabama, Florida State at 2:30, and LSU, Clemson, 6:30.
So it'll be a chance for the ACC to get pummeled again or not.
Or change the narrative.
It's true.
ACC on ACC violence, Notre Dame versus Miami. And then
In some ways, yes, it is ACC on ACC violence.
And then it Monday... The eyes of the nation on them on Labor Day. You have TCU going to Chapel Hill to face Bill Belichick and the Tar Heels.
There will be some interest that we wouldn't have suspected when this game was put on the schedule 5 years ago. But now that Bill Belichick is there.
When they put it on the schedule 5 years ago, they're like, cool, 11 o'clock, whatever.
Yeah, but now who is it still sunny? Is he still at TCU, Sonny Dykes?
Yeah, still Sonny
Dykes. So Sonny Dykes will be the maybe cannon fodder for Bill Belichick's first game as a college football coach.
It's funny because TCU...
They were Deion's cannon fodder.
It was the same exact situation.
Except at least they had that one. They had that one at home and lost.
That was the big noon kickoff.
Yeah, but it was big noon kickoff at home. And wait a minute. TCU can't stop these guys. This game is more interesting, and it turns out it was one of the bigger wins in Deion's tenure at now TCU wasn't great that year, but at the time it propelled Deion's team into the conversation. Yeah. And they've certainly taken off and run with that to some people's dismay, but they're now a conversation piece and it started with that game.
I will say Saturday week one, it's those three games I mentioned, Texas, Ohio State. And then you're probably a fan of a team if you're watching any other game.
Yeah, it's not a great
Utah UCLA is like up there.
Ooh.
Has best matchup.
Well, Nico Maliava first start. There it is. That's how you get him to watch.
Nico's
first start at UCLA.
You know what? I'm sending an alert for that one.
We're sure Cam Rising isn't playing for Utah, right? We're sure about that.
I don't know. We can never be too sure.
Are we sure?
He said he's retiring.
We're sure he won't be a part of that team for that game.
Who knows? Who knows? There's still plenty of time for a waiver to be rushed through.
You're right. It's true. It's true. But for the moment, Cam Rising, who missed plenty of time with Utah when he was on the roster because of his injuries.
Now he's not on the roster. Maybe he plays.
Maybe he decides he's healthy and he'll play. But yeah, so as we get closer and closer, we'll talk more college football as far as the games are concerned, as opposed to some of the ridiculous offseason stuff when it comes to the playoff. But there we are. If you're a Texas fan, you got a dog in Chris Del Conte. He ain't going to be bullied by Ohio State.
We already knew that.
Yeah. Oh, I was alerted to it when I saw the article. I did not know he had that dog in him.
As someone who covered his opening press conference, or his introductory press conference, from that day, no, actually, then it was very bland and normal. It's very hard for me to be like, it's a new era for Texas athletics.
Don't they love bland and normal as far as
they do.
The people talking?
They do.
Yeah.
Like, one of the biggest things was, oh, Shaka Smart was there.
Shaka Smart, his biggest thing is standing on the floor while his opponent's in the offensive end. Hey, get off the court. You can't be the sixth man. Still does that at Marquette. All right, we're done for the day. Paul Gallant's up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We did it!
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I think enough time has passed.
Thoughts and prayers to that Achilles, Jason Tatum. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.